Well, it is really wonderful to be here as an invited guest. So thank you for the organization. I wonder wherever you got this kind of wonderful idea to invite me here. But I'm happy that I'm here right now. In my paper, I will tackle the question of sex work and political economy, but from a quite peculiar perspective. I try to figure out how, in the discussion on prostitution as a work, as usual, the economic dimension of prostitution has been analyzed and conceptualized. Let's look at this kind of idea and concept of prostitution as a work in a very concrete way. If selling sex can be understood as a resource or at least something that has economic exchange value in the market, something that can be used in the labor market, competence that opens employment opportunities, like the idea of selling sex and call it as a work presuppose, then for sure there must be some kind of analysis on personal cost and profits that prostitution as work creates. Furthermore, remembering that sexuality is an embodied resource, something that cannot so easily be separated from the person, her or himself, sexual service and their body and the body of the provider are inseparable, they cannot be separated from each other. Are there some considerations regarding how sex as work should be regulated? If selling sex is work, I'm asking, can it be and should it be something and as an occupation that anybody can do, or service that anybody can offer, or should it be regulated and professionalized in some special way? So the leading question behind this kind of thinking is the fact that in several European countries they have introduced regularization of prostitution in the last decade and so. And the idea for that has been that they have wanted to ensure the rights of women and men in the prostitution as workers. And this is a very pragmatic approach. And it has been a way to implement harm reduction. But as Skilbrey and Holmström say, now I would like to look at it from the perspective of what is the ideological stance, what is the ideological context where this making and calling prostitution as a work happens. And the ideological stance that I offer to you is the fact of market fundamentalism, or neoliberalism, or economism that I will call it. And here is one example of the expansion of economism. This graph is made by wonderful Google's new tool, InCrameUO, by using it, it's possible to visualize the rise and fall of particular keywords, words and sentences. And this is based on computational linguistics, and to put it shortly, it shows in the form of graphs the yearly proportional frequency of certain phrases found from the Google Books database. And the phrases that I have been looking is the kind of very common expression, things are business as usual. And as you can see, there are quite some, it fits quite beautifully. About 1947, the Society of Montpellier was founded, and you know that it's one of those organizations, or I would call it nowadays think tankers, that are known for proponents of first classical liberalism and then neoliberalism. And here you can see the expansion of here we see the kind of rise of neoliberalism, And here, 1990, we saw a time when Soviet Union ceases to exist, which is also time that is thought that, well, now the market capitalism has really won. And that is the context where we are living and where the idea of prostitution as work is proposed to us. So the leading question for my exploration is very simple. If selling sex is considered as work, like several feminist-oriented researchers and activists are claiming, how seriously is it really analyzed as and evaluated as a work, demanding certain kind of qualification, demanding something to become a real employment opportunity? That's a simple structure of my paper. Firstly, I say a few words about economism, what I mean by it. Secondly, I speak something about, very quickly, something about feminist research on prostitution. And then I go on to describe my findings and tell that, well, how does the discussion of prostitution as a work look when I look it from the perspective of whether it's understood as a real work? And then I try to answer to my question, what can be radical sexual politics in the time of market fundamentalism? So what is meant by market fundamentalism or economism, that I also call it? So economism has six central characteristics, which could be summarized as saying that the economy is the most important component of a society. People are best understood fundamentally as economic beings. Economic calculations is the best way to both understand and manage all aspects of human life. And the economy must be managed according to its own internal laws by technical experts without interferences from politicians, which means state, or moralist, which sometimes means feminist. To put it even more simple way, so the idea of economism is to understand it that how it changes the way how we look at society. So it can be understood by using the distinctions that are created by Michael Sandels. So he says that if we have a market economy, so then the idea goes like that, yes, we have a market economy, and we agree that certain portion of social activity is best managed through the general mechanism of market exchanges. But this is only part of the society, not the whole society, and neither the only logic of the society. Therefore, there can and should be some boundaries for the market. Some important social values could be protected and general goals should be served, and this requires some degree of regulation. By contrast, if being a market society, it describes the ideology of economism. Market is not anymore a tool for organizing productive activity. A market society is a way of life in which market values seep into every aspect of human endeavor. It's a place where social relations are made over in the image of market. The economy is not anymore part of the society, it is the society. And I think that market fundamentalism, it kind of implies this kind of way of thinking about society. So, one concrete example of that is the expansion of these kind of phrases like things are business as usual. For instance, water is no more human right, but it should be business as usual. clean air is no more human right, but it also could be part of the commodification market. Well, feminist research on prostitution, which I have to confess to you that I come as Soile told you, I come to the field from two different roads. Firstly, I have been done research on sexuality, and by meaning sexuality as a pleasure, enjoyment, etc., and as a part of getting old and still being sexual, which feels like good today. And then also, I was doing research about bisexuality. And then later on, I started to do research on gendered violence and especially sexual violence and intimate violence. So from these perspectives, I have been and read texts also from radical feminist, liberal feminist, queer feminist, and I absolutely decided that I never ever won't say any words about the prostitution, because this is the place where all those divisions and distinctions and different kind of aims and activists are kind of meeting and debating. And one of those year-long debates is the question that how to conceptualize and how to regulate prostitution. It has been one of those central focus in the research of prostitution. And there are several diverse agendas about gender equality, the regulation of sexuality, personal self-determination, state protectionism, public nuisance, social economic disparity, etc. And this all creates a very kind of complex, unpredictable, and controversial ways of thinking about prostitution. And the idea that prostitution should and could be understood as a work is part of this very varied, heatedly debated and very varied way of thinking about prostitution. And this actually means that majority of the researches that call prostitution as sex, use the term work as an expression that aims actually to deconstruct the stigma of the prostitution, and especially the links between identity of the women and images of the prostitute. By using the sex work or avoiding the expressions of prostitute and saying, for instance, women working in prostitutes, the act of selling sex and the identity of the woman who is selling sex are separated from each other. Often the idea is also to stress the agency of the women by saying that sometimes selling sex is the best choice in the situation where the woman is living. Women are not only victims. So to conclude, when I contextualize the discourses on prostitution as a form of work, then my kind of I have to conclude that it has not really been analyzed as a work, but it has much more the notion of work has been used to fight against the stigma of the prostitute. But the problem is that when it has really not been analyzed as a work, it has been described, of course, as a work, the very central questions have been left unanswered. And I think that in this time of neoliberal and market fundamentalistic thinking, this has actually meant that we have opened, that feminists itself, they have opened a new form of labor. They have legitimized a new form of labor without any protection for the people who may start to think that, yes, this is work like any other. And that's the problem with this kind of otherwise very important struggle that feminists have been doing. And this is an example, one example how this happens. This excerpt comes from the book New Sociology of Sex Work. And they do the trick that happens very often, that actually they are framing the question of sex work in such a way that all the problematic features of prostitution are taken away. The whole question of prostitution, when it's dealt as a work, is framed in such a way that the problematic features of prostitution are outscored. And as you see that they are saying that also we acknowledge that there are those men, women, and children who do not exercise choice in their participation in the sex industry, etc. This collection focuses exclusively sex as work, and it focusing to the people who identify themselves as sex workers. And that's the problem. When the researchers are describing what it means to do sex as work, they are at the same time ignoring the problematic features of the sex industry or lesser industry, and making them as the conditions of the sex work and not the sex work itself. The other thing that I think is very problematic is that even though sex work is, that prostitution is called as sex work, the economic of sex work is not considered very seriously. So to find out what it would be look like, the economic of sex work, I was forced to ask it from the economics, not from the people who are doing the research on sex work. And economists Lena Edlund and Evelyn Cord, they describe prostitution as a form of employment very briefly. It's low-skilled, labor-intensive, female, and well-paid, at least when the income is compared to the full-time earnings in profession with comparable skill requirement and age. But as a business, it's a multi-billion business that is more common in less developed countries. And other economists, Simon Moffat and Simon Peters, they have made a kind of same kind of economic evaluation that, well, how what if we think about prostitution as a work and looking at the earnings, what they are. And they say the same, that, well, it's quite a well-paid work, or the earnings are quite good, comparing to the age and skills of the skill level and age of the people they say the same it is well-paid work if you compare it to the alternative low-skill jobs. But at the same time, they say that, yes, this is a low-skill job where the career is short. So they have counted that how much women who are working in the sex industry, how high are the prices what they get. And they have made a beautiful graph about that, and they said, well, the price initially increases with age and then start to decrease about certain age, 20.1 years to be precise. So the well-paid career in sex work is quite short. The previous calculation that I showed, are based mainly on economic modelings and estimation. Also, they do not put any meaning to the psychological or other cost of prostitution that are very well documented. Neither they consider the questions what happens to the women in prostitution after their best before days are over or when they want to leave the prostitution and change work and their career. Linda de Riviere has tried to answer to these kind of questions and she has been using empirical data from Canada, Manitoba. And she has made a cost-benefit analysis to estimate the lifelong effect for individuals who have work as a prostitute. And she says it quite clearly. That after a period of engaging in prostitution, the individuals have lost significant opportunities to acquire income, earnings, productivity over their work life attributes, and over their work life, sex trade workers may incur large indirect personal cost in terms of lost earnings compared to similar women in society. So actually, the earnings from prostitution they do not help the life in the life after prostitution, but actually the time that the people have been working in prostitution, it's creates such a cost that will harm their later on life. So the cost-benefit analysis is not as glamorous as it looked like in the first sight. Well, now I go back to the research that has been describing what prostitution is as a work. And then I think that a quite clear picture is that if we call prostitution as a work, then we have to remember also that it's informal, unrecognized work. The people are self-employed or they are independent contractors. It's part of the new labor. Some of the prostitutes can be this kind of entrepreneurs, and they are the high-level prostitutions. But anyhow, in the area of prostitution, there are no employment contracts, neither long-time career opportunities, and not security. But who needs security nowadays? Because, as Brookett and Parent say it, and I take this example because it comes also from Canada, like Linda de Riviere's evaluation of the cost benefits in working prostitution. But who needs this kind of security? Because sex workers appreciate the autonomy, the chance to meet and interact with new and interesting people, the opportunity to explore their sexuality and the sense of accomplishment related doing a job well, etc. As I said previously, one of the problems regarding the way how prostitution as a work has been kind of described is the distinction between what belongs to the prostitution as a work itself and what are the conditions of the work. And many people who are proponents of the idea that prostitution can be a work, they are actually saying that, well, prostitution in itself is not harmful. But the problem is the different conditions and the stigma of the prostitution. And by saying that, they are actually outscoring several features that belong to the world of sex industry. And I think that there, what happens is the same kind of logic. You would not do it if you would be looking at other type of occupation. For instance, If you would be evaluating that, what would it mean to be as a have an occupation as a professor? So how kind of understandable and how valid would be your description that, well, it would be wonderful occupation if there wouldn't be these kind of university institutions, and if there wouldn't be students, and if there wouldn't be this all the time searching of the money, and if there wouldn't be this kind of teaching load, etc. And anyhow, in the field of the prostitution, so there are these kind of problematic features. There is the danger of violence. There is a lot of drug and abuse problems. Actually, many people come to the field of prostitution under the age of 18. 18 or 90% of them have chosen this career, if it's career, under the age of 18. Much of the recruitment comes from the vulnerable groups, people who have problems in their families, they have experiences of abuse, etc. They have low level of education, they have low level of formal skills, and they have low level of trade union activity. And if you want to have change your career, stop working as a prostitute, there you are supposed to, or actually you need several kind of support for the exit. And I think that one of those things that is forgotten very often is that the client images of the service provider and the idea what the service is from the perspective of the service provider do not meet. So I think that when Julia Davidson O'Connell puts this quite beautifully, when she said that if you imagine prostitutes successfully stripped of its stigma, it's actually repetitive, boring, caring for, and often involved intimate contact with dirty and old, foul-breathed customers, and always invariably calling for intensive and depleting emotional labor. Who, faced with equally well-paid alternative, would choose this? And that's a good question. But I think that there is something which is even more problematic. That when you look at the way how prostitution as a work is described again, then very often the proponents of the prostitution as a work, they actually are saying that it's very demanding work. So people who are working in prostitution, they either develop or they need a huge amount of different skills. And one of the most important skill is the ability to numb or freeze the connections between mind, body and self, to make a distinction between the service producing me and between the me in the body. And this is really psychologically very demanding. And if you remember that people have been recruited from the groups that have low-level education, have problematic backgrounds, etc., so I have to admire that they can get these kind of skills. But from the perspective their security and protection, I'm wondering that how on earth, who should be the responsible of providing this kind of skills if we really think prostitution as a work. But that's not the only skills that one would need. To work in a prostitution, now one needs interpersonal skills. One person needs management and communication and listening skills, business administration, time management skills, assertiveness and creativity, etc. So actually, again, if you compare it with the idea, with the background of the people who are working in the prostitution, so my question is that how they get this qualification, Who invest in the building of them? The descriptions of the prostitution as a work are also very classed. And here I give you two examples of that. Elizabeth Bernstein has done research on a middle-class white professional in the commercial sex sector in both industrial cities, in San Francisco, Amsterdam, and Stockholm. And these are the examples of entrepreneurial women who are really doing business, and they are managing their work very well, and actually, the whole idea about prostitution is located, or it is contextual to the idea about this kind of recreational sexuality, and it's not anymore service provider, but it's something that has that is combined with lesser industry. So when the white middle class professionals are working in prostitution, they are not anymore part of sex industry, but they become a part of lesser industry, and also they are successful businesswomen. I don't remember if they have some age limit. Maybe I should read that again. Well, Susan Dewey gives another description. She has made research on women who are working in the bars in Rusty Belt in the area, post-industrial area, and she describes how these women they are doing topless and nude dancing, and how actually this whole scene is perfect image of hyper-capitalist reality, and it tells about women who actually whose income is unreliable, those who feel pervasive social stigma, clients are dangerous and threatening, and dancing offers absolutely no illusion of long-term support, and for them, the work as a prostitute is a dead end. So, to conclude, I think that when several feminist-oriented researchers and activists are calling prostitution as a work, body work or sex work, they are offering legalization as a solution, without at the same time pointing out how this special form of work should be regulated, what kind of employment act should be in use, what are the competencies needed, who should take responsibility of the vocational education for the people who enter to the sex trade, how they should calculate the cost and benefits of the work, how to take care of the vulnerable selves, etc. Actually, and how they should act so that they are not risking themselves and their future while doing this work. So if we do not do this while we are speaking about sex, prostitution as a sex work, I think that I don't see that this can be any way empowering or radical for women, because in this global context where economism or market fundamentalism has gotten the dominant position in the political and social discussion, and it's used more and more also either to explain the non-economic phenomena or to give a solution to the social problems, the radical ideas of breaking of the stigma of prostitutes and the deconstruction of the heterosexuality will only be interpreted as one more argument to the limitless commodification. Work as usual, business as usual, and actually take care of yourself as usual.